So we acorns are dropping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fatty as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a
Welcome to Yarns at Yinhu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 8, Acid and Autumn. September 28th, 2013. I'm your host, Sarah, podcasting from Silver Lake Tea House. Show notes for this episode are located on my website, yarnsatyinhu.com. I hope you will consider liking the show's Facebook page or joining the Yarns at Yinhu group on Ravelry. You can find me on Ravelry and Twitter as Sarah Pomegranate. I welcome your suggestions and comments. Welcome this week to new listeners, Fuzzy Nana, LastKnit2, who said podcasts are her knitting group, and Andy, who left a comment on the show website. She was listening and sipping kombucha at the time. Remy and NML Nut left comments about dyeing with black walnuts. And NML Nut is also the first to enter our Teacher Tribute Challenge. To enter the contest, think of a meaningful teacher in your life. It may be someone who taught you in a classroom or someone from whom you learned in a less formal environment. Write a letter to that teacher and mail it. Finally, post a tribute to that teacher on the Ravelry thread or leave a comment on my website under Episode 7. You have until October 31st to post your tribute in a comment or reply. In early November, I will select two prize winners, one drawn at random from the comments on Episode 7 on my website, and one from the Ravelry thread. I'll tell you more about the prizes and post photos once I purchase them. I have some priority prize shopping to do at Rhinebeck this year. Ravelry members can also double dip by posting in the U University forum. This week's episode includes segments titled The Back Porch, Yarn Lover at Large, Ever-Expanding Skill Set, The Front Porch, and Gratitude Journal. The Back Porch. Yesterday, I finished my batade capelet, pattern designed by Stephen West. This is the last time I'll be telling you about it because the project is complete, and I'll be posting photographs on the show blog as well as on my Ravelry project page. So here's an overview of Batade by Stephen West. It's a $6 pattern on Ravelry, well worth the expense. The pattern has amazing architectural interest. I decided to call it Acid and Autumn. The reason for that is the color gradations in the finished project. When I look at it, I'm reminded of the beauty of this time of year. Some of the leaves start changing colors, and some of the leaves are still a bright and vibrant green. And that is echoed in the colors of my version of Batade. To review, I used two different kinds of yarn for this pattern. The garter stitch short rows are knitted from my hand spun, which is a mixed blue face Leicester in the color Country Cottage. I spun it up and got 447 yards out of 4 ounces of fiber. It's a 2-ply yarn. And the welts, which add the architectural interest, are knitted out of Barocco Ultra Alpaca Light in the peat colorway, which is an acid green. I bought 3 skeins of the Barocco Ultra Alpaca, and I have most of one of them still remaining, perhaps for some fingerless mitts to go with the capelet. I used US size 5 needles, and that resulted in a little bit larger stitches and an inability to complete the shawl exactly as written. Stephen West's design has 9 sections of short rows and 10 welts. I was able to achieve 7 sections of short rows and 9 welts. The finished project is 6 inches deep at the center and 21 inches deep at its longest point. So when it's worn over the shoulder, it goes all the way down to my wrist. What I really wanted to do was to start another one of these shawls because it's just such an amazing design, and I love the idea of playing with two kinds of color. Hopefully I'll have time to begin another version of this in the future, but for now, October is coming, and I have pledged to devote October to a variety of hat patterns. So I'll tell you a little bit more about that later in the show.
There's a piece of advice that knitters give. Whenever you select a new pattern to make, you should always try to find a pattern that has at least one new skill in it. And so this time when I was knitting the batade, I learned quite a few things. The first was something I talked about last week, which was completing welts in the pattern. And a welt is created by knitting 8 rows of knit stitches and then folding them back on themselves by knitting together the first and the last row. And that lends the pattern all of its architectural interest. In order to complete the welts successfully, it's necessary to be able to read your knitting. And the first few rounds, I was very frustrated. But gradually, I did learn to read my knitting, and the welts became a lot easier. The second thing I learned to do was to weigh yarn in order to determine if you have enough yarn left for a pattern repeat. Knitters will sometimes report that they're playing yarn chicken, which means they're not entirely sure if they have enough of the right yarn to complete the pattern as written or to complete the pattern in the size they want. In this case, because I made some changes to how I was knitting the pattern, I was using size 5 needles instead of the size 4 that was suggested. I was running out of yarn more quickly than the pattern indicated. I did use a digital scale, weighed the yarn that I had, and then I knit one of the short row sections and weighed the yarn again in order to determine if I had enough yarn to complete another short row section. I was left with just a few grams of my handspun yarn when I completed the pattern. And the third skill I acquired while I was working on the batade was an I-cord bind-off. I had never done an I-cord bind-off before, and when you look at a photo of the finished capelet, the final round of acid green is not really a welt. It's reminiscent of a welt. It's an I-cord bind-off, which is essentially passing stitches from one needle to the other and creating a nice deep binding for the edge of the shawl. It's a really cool technique. I've heard a lot of knitters talk about it, but I had never done one myself before. And I was pleased to find that that's how the pattern ended.
Last weekend, the Bovine Social Club played at the Highlands Festival on September 22nd. It was a gorgeous outdoor event held locally at Waterloo Village in Warren County, New Jersey. There was an outdoor stage, plenty of seating on the grass, and a wonderful variety of vendors, both food vendors and other kinds of vendors. And I was so surprised walking down the vendor aisle to see someone working at a spinning wheel. And there was a tent set up with handspun yarn for sale and a variety of knitted and felted projects, needle felting, shawls, slippers, I think, a whole bunch of different things, incredibly reasonable prices, and they were getting a lot of business. Number one, because the designs were interesting, the prices were affordable, number two. And number three, Julianne and Rebecca, who were the proprietors of the shop, were demonstrating their crafts as well as selling their items. and on occasion a large group of people would gather around them and they would be explaining what they were doing and the different kinds of animal fibers they were using. It was really extraordinary. They do local events and they are part of something called Simpatico Fiber Collective, which is run by the two of them, and they have an Etsy shop that's stocked with things they make. So I'll be linking that in the show notes. I was stunned that the spinning wheel I saw was the same one I have. And when I started talking to Julianne and Rebecca, we found out that we all have the same spinning teacher, who is Betty from the spinnery in Frenchtown. So we had some really nice conversation about that and some different spinning techniques. A lot of the yarn that was on display and for sale was core spun, and that's a technique I have not tried. Core spinning is when you spin fiber onto a strand of yarn or some kind of cord. Usually it's not a very attractive, interesting, or expensive kind of yarn that's the core, because ideally in a finished product you will never see it. It's just something that stabilizes the fiber that you spin to the outside of it and bolsters the look of the fiber, so you can get a very bulky looking result without using that much fiber to create the yarn. It's a technique I would like to try in the future, and maybe if I manage to hang around with these ladies at some point, I can get a lesson or we can talk over some of our spinning techniques. Last Saturday was a beautiful fall day with patches of sun and clouds, and it did feel a little bit chilly quite a few times, especially when the sun dipped behind the clouds. As I was listening to the Bovine Social Club and some of the other performers, I looked around the crowd and I noticed a number of women were wearing things they had purchased from Simpatico Fiber Collective. So I hope the ladies did well with their shop, and I wish them well with their future endeavors this fall. Ever-expanding skill set. This week, I was able to admire the results of my experiment with natural dyeing with some local goldenrod. I'm not sure if there are different varieties of goldenrod, but it seemed to me 2 weeks ago when I collected the goldenrod that here in the Poconos, our goldenrod was starting to fade. It was starting to turn brown and was really past its peak. But this weekend, when I was on my way home from New Brunswick, New Jersey, which is further south, I noticed brightly colored fields of goldenrod and a lot of goldenrod along the side of the road. So maybe someone can get back to me if you know a lot about goldenrod in this area and if there are some different strains or different varieties. It seems like ours has passed its peak, but in other places, there's still a lot of goldenrod for collecting. That means that the window of opportunity is still open if you want to try dyeing some of your hand-spun yarn or some fiber with goldenrod dye. The resulting color of my fiber is very difficult to photograph. I feel that it's a more vibrant color yellow and almost with a little bit of a greenish tinge to it than anything I was able to capture with my camera. So I will be putting a photograph of the dyed fiber in my show notes this week. And I look forward to spinning with the dyed fiber and letting you know about the experience of working with the two different kinds of fiber, Falkland and Shetland. I didn't notice a great deal of difference in the look of the fiber as it is in a big, long strand of combed top. I'll see if there's any differences when I spin them up. If it seems like one of the fibers took the dye in a little bit deeper gradation than another. One of my favorite color combinations is gray and yellow, which I lovingly call Grello. I just think it offers a great deal of contrast and is very interesting in knitted items. So I might be trying to procure some naturally gray fiber to spin up and maybe do a project with the goldenrod fiber and some natural gray. I think that would make something stunning. I'm not sure what kind of pattern I would choose, but that could be in the future. The front porch. I mentioned earlier that October will be all about hats here at Yinhu. That's because Diane from the Knittables video podcast is hosting a knit along for hats in October. And I thought it would be a great way to participate and to get some more experience working on hats. I have the sock head hat nearly complete. I just need to start the decreases and finish the top of the hat. That will be done. And since I have quite a bit of sock yarn, I might be knitting another sock head hat as well. It's a simple pattern. I think it works very well for the men in my life who I'd like to give holiday gifts to. It knits up pretty quickly, and it's an excellent travel project. I mentioned in an earlier podcast that Samuel and I had traveled to Emmaus, Pennsylvania, to Conversational Threads to pick out some yarn for the first project I will ever make for Samuel. And that will probably consume most of my time in October. The pattern I've chosen is another Stephen West pattern. It's the string band. It's not exactly a hat. It's a buttoned cowl that turns into a hat. It has a drawstring top and the string band wraps around. I just love the name of the pattern, and I thought it would be a great pattern for Samuel since he plays in a band with a lot of stringed instruments. We chose Strawberry Hill Alpacas, which is a local yarn. It is 90% alpaca, 10% nylon in a 2-ply fingering. On the labels of this yarn, you can find out exactly which alpacas donated their fur for the yarn. And the black is Poochie and the gray is Zelda. A 4-ounce skein yields about 550 yards. So I did my first ever swatch for a pattern. I've never swatched. Not for crochet, not for knitting. Not for any reason have I ever swatched. I haven't made a lot of fitted garments, but my attitude toward the fiber arts is this is my hobby, just go for it. And I usually throw caution to the wind and just make the pattern. I figure if it doesn't work for me, it will work for someone else, and I don't get too concerned about gauge. I'm also quite fortunate in that my gauge, I think, usually aligns with standard gauge. However, when I started looking at the ball band for this yarn and realizing how fine this alpaca was, I got worried. This seems more like almost a lace weight yarn than a fingering yarn. And when I looked at the details of the pattern, it said either fingering or sport weight yarn. And sport weight yarn is heavier than fingering weight yarn. So I decided to do a swatch. I did, and I held the yarn double on size 4 needles. And when I did that, the resulting swatch was a little bit larger than required by the gauge of the pattern. So as a result, I dropped down a needle size. The pattern calls for US size 3 and 4 needles. I'll be using US size 2 and 3 needles. And I did start knitting the ribbed band of the hat, and it looks pretty good. So I'm excited about knitting my first ever project for Samuel out of this lovely alpaca yarn. It really is soft, and the colors are muted and beautiful. I think the gray and the black are going to look incredibly masculine and work up into a stunning project. You will certainly be hearing more about this as we continue October and the month of hats.
Gratitude Journal. This week was the first NWP Saturday at the National Writing Project at Rutgers, and I was very happy to see a lot of old friends and meet some new friends as well as we celebrated new teacher consultants joining our site. They worked 4 weeks this summer in an intensive graduate course.
The first NWP Saturday at the end of September is the one where we have a great reception for them and welcome them to the site. And I was able to catch up with some friends who I found out have been listening to the podcast. Donna is a person who's been involved in the fiber arts for a very long time, and she said some really generous things and listed some specific details about her listening to the podcast. And my friends Jen and Christy are also getting involved with knitting, which is so exciting. They say it's a result of my enthusiasm and their enjoyment of the podcast, and I couldn't be happier. Autumn has really set in here in the Poconos, and we saw our first gold and red leaves and took a really nice drive to check out the foliage at this point in the season. And then we ended our drive with a stop at a local restaurant where we sampled 5 different kinds of pumpkin beers, which was fantastic. Our quote this week is courtesy of Goodreads. "I would rather sit on a pumpkin and have it all to myself than be crowded on a velvet cushion." Henry David Thoreau. Thank you for listening. The music in today's episode is So Wheat, music and lyrics by Samuel St. Thomas, performed by Krista Long and Cesar Diaz. If you enjoyed today's episode, I hope you will consider leaving a star rating or a review on iTunes. Eat well and stay strong as you hone your post-apocalyptic skill set this week.
Leaves her down like a lady, waiting for a naked man. River bends like an elbow, turning stone to sand. It's a subway nitrogen. Yes, a subway nitrogen. Yes, a mighty fine nitrogen. Yes, a mighty fine nitrogen. Sycamore trees are blazing like a rainbow fire, just like Linda Curtis, burnt out on a wire. It's a subway nitrogen. It's a subway nitrogen. It's a mighty fine nitrogen. It's a mighty fine nitrogen. Nature's ever get you high till your face is smile. Jump a river naked, hike a country mile. It's a subway nature thing. It's a subway nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a